Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. In preparation for this week's sermon, I usually go through all the lessons and look around them and see what kind of bounces around in my strange head, what connections are made. This week, although I've read through all the lessons, I never got past that first lesson. It's very powerful. We don't do enough with Isaiah, I don't think, sometimes in the church here. We throw little bits and tips out of them. But Isaiah had a very difficult mission. He had to proclaim that the people were going to be redeemed, that is, returned back to Israel, that God was going to come and rescue them before it happened. As we all know, hindsight is 20/20, and it's real easy to talk about things in the past. But for the prophet, he had to say it in the midst of people in captivity, beaten down, destroyed, taken away to work for other folks. Treated well in the current times, and some captives were, but still nonetheless worried. Would events of the world overtake them? Would they ever restore Israel again? Would they ever be able to preserve for their children generations to come, thinking they may not ever get back home again? And that, by the way, is the origin of the synagogue. It was during the time of exile that style of worship that the Jewish people use today was really established as a way of preserving when they were not able to be near the temple and the traditions they grew up with. So it was profound to me, and it hit me. Say to those of a fearful heart, your Lord is coming. Do not be afraid. I couldn't get past those words, because I think we too live in very troubled times. Perhaps everyone has always lived in very troubled times. But ours is a very difficult time. People can't agree on hardly anything. People debate and fight over things we used to think were taken commonplace or assumed. We just seem to be at enmity with each other about all kinds of things, and we're all fearful. When you listen to our politicians, they don't create this stuff. They reflect back to us what they think we want to hear. And it is quite often very, very fearful and worrisome and painful. And it's so easy. So easy to get on that emotional train and just hop on board and ride the emotions of fear and anger. They don't last long, but they sure are powerful when they come. And yet here is the prophet in the midst of that saying, speak to those with a fearful heart and tell them to not be afraid, that their Lord is coming to them. It speaks to our times too. This is where we are. We live in fearful times. Many, many people among us have fear. And I'm not saying there are not some legitimate fears, because there really are some things to be fearful for, as every generation has things to be fearful for. But it's so easy, so overwhelming to just get caught up on that emotional, fearful train and not put any resistance up. In fact, sometimes it's a lot easier, isn't it? It's a real struggle sometimes. And that's what the prophet does. And I thought about that. And you know, think about the Bible. There are a lot of stories in the Bible. I'd go into bet, and I'm not done this scientifically, but over 90% of them, maybe more than 95% of them, are those kind of situations. Noah, tough times. Abraham, go out in the middle of nowhere and establish a new kingdom. David, facing his own frustrations and fears in his life. The prophets, all of them, having to go and say things people didn't want to hear. The New Testament. Do you think the first Christmas was a joyful occasion? A nation under captivity with Roman armies marching around, with Herod ready to chop off the heads of his children, much less anyone that would dare speak about a Messiah. And those shepherds are told, go and talk about this. Go and look for it. And I'm sure they went, you want us to do what? Isn't it remarkable? Isn't it remarkable that people actually had faith? Not easy faith. I don't know if there really is such a thing, but it's easier sometimes, isn't it, to be faithful, to have these beliefs. But the Bible always puts this context of God's coming in the midst of trouble and trial and fear. Now, I don't know if God's actually more present. I don't think God really is. I think God's present all the time with us. But maybe it's in those times that we actually look for God, those times of fearfulness and anxiety, or the times that we are more attuned to what God's doing. Because we try ourselves and we fail. You know, we may think we rule the world, Bill Nabors sometimes thinks he rules the world. He finds out quite often and quite frequently and quite quickly that he does not rule anything. But we like to do that. We like to be in control. But in these times of anxiety and fear, we let go of some of that control. And it always appears to us throughout history that God is there. That's why we call Advent the coming, or comings, depending on how you translate it, of God. Not just in the past, though those help teach us and show us the way that God is coming now, and the patience to wait for God to come, which is what our second lesson is all about. John the Baptist asked a very good question. Sitting here looking through the walls of a prison, are you really the Messiah? And Jesus does not take offense at that, notice it, but says instead, go and tell what's being done, what's happening in the world. That's where the fears are overcome. This Christmas will not be joyful for everyone among us or everyone in the world. Never meant to be. We can be very sentimental about Christmas, and I like that. I like a lot of the traditions and everything. They're very meaningful to me. But Christmas is a radical concept that God has chosen to come into the troubled world. Not into the safe, secure world. Not when everyone's ready for him, but come when no one expects him in order to show his grace and mercy. And that's what the prophet tells him. He doesn't say, hang around here, God will take care of everything, and you know, then he'll turn it over to you and you can run the rest of the world. No. God will come, and God will guide you, and God will work through you. You will be a visible sign, the prophet's telling them, on the return to Israel of God's mercy and grace. That's what all that imagery about the desert blooming and all that. It's imagery to say that God is at work and the world can see. I believe, this is me personally, maybe you do, that is what we do. Every day that we get up and get out of bed, that we pull on our clothes, that we go out in the world, that we try to show kindness and mercy and healing to one another. Because the temptation, the freight train that's running by us, we have to resist. We have to have faith and hope. See, we gather in church not because we're better than anyone else in the world. Maybe we don't even have a lot of secrets in the church. Maybe a few too many sometimes. But because we truly believe that God is more powerful than all the things in this world that would tear us apart and tear us down. We believe. We trust. And that's the miracle. I've said before, the miracle of Christmas, there are a bunch of them. Luther said this too, so I'm not original with this, but I have my own version of it. You know, the virgin birth, that's pretty powerful. That's impressive. God coming to earth, that's pretty darn impressive too for our sakes. But to me, what stands out every year when I get to this time of the year is the faith of these people. They didn't have crystal balls. They didn't know how God was going to do this. They were as unsure as you and I are every day when we get up about what's going to happen. And yet, despite all the stuff that the world was telling them was happening to them, they did not give in to fear. And I think that's what the prophet's really talking about there. We all have fears. But it's giving in to that sense of fear. I do it this way. You can do it your own way. But I think of fear in two forms. Acute and chronic. Those of you who know family systems theory, this is where this kind of thinking fools around in my head. Acute is like this. You come around the corner, there's a copperhead sitting in the road, you don't walk towards it, you walk away from it. That's a legitimate fear. The gazelle running across the Sanhedrin, you know, running across the Sanhedrin, Sahara, or somewhere in the plains, the San Bernardino, it's got a legitimate fear. But I just read a book a little while ago about a guy talking about all this, and what he said was, the title of his book is, you know, giraffe don't have chronic cancer. They don't have chronic ulcers. They don't have fear beyond the moment. And you would think if anyone lived in fear, it would be those animals, because every day is a struggle to survive. But we humans have this ability to take legitimate fear and stretch it out in what I call chronic. Now, for me, you all probably have it. For me, it's the dentist office. Okay? Part of that is legitimate. When I was a kid, they had to remove some teeth and do some stuff in my mouth. And I had a dentist that my mother and I used to laugh about that we helped put him in his Mercedes. Let's say this way. He went very, very slight on the Novocaine. Because he saved money that way, you know? And needs to say, I was not a happy camper whenever I went to a dentist's office when I was young. To this day, I go to the dentist. I have a good dentist. He's a great guy. And I know he's not out to hurt me. I walk in the door. I hear the, or I smell that smell, you know? And my mouth clenches up. And they're always telling me, relax, relax. And I try hard. But it's a struggle. Because for my mind, it has gone beyond the legitimate pain and fear of that day. It is embedded in me that I have to fight that. Because it's like an automatic. That's what I mean by chronic pain and chronic fear. Chronic fear. It's just a fear of fearfulness. We look out in the world and we panic sometimes. All of us. Some of that is based on legitimate fears. But quite often, it's getting caught up in fearfulness. And the prophet is telling us that we don't have to have that kind of fear. Because God comes to us. So all these lessons are about. We don't work our way up to God. We don't climb Jacob's ladder. I always just like that song for that reason. Great song, but we don't climb Jacob's ladder. No humans climb Jacob's ladder. The angels come down the ladder to the humans. So it is that God has chosen to come. To come in ancient times, the stories we read, to come in the future, the promise, but also to be present today. And we, you and I, are those hands and feet of God that make him present in the world. When we dare not give in to fear, when we dare not give in to those trains that run by that we can easily jump on and make stereotypes of one another or have enmity with one another, when we dare take the stance of faith, we stand along generations that have gone before us and their fearfulness. Ours may be a little different fears, but it's not you. It's not you. And that's a visible sign in this world. When you and I are the vehicles for healing, when you and I are the vehicles for caring, when you and I are the means by which God says to the world, do not be afraid, chronically, if I might add that. Do not be fearful. Do not let your fears run away from you. We have that capacity to do that by God's Spirit at work in us. Not on our own. We're not better people here at church than anyone else in the world. We may be worse because sometimes we at least not acknowledge our own shortcomings in church, in the world. But we are people who have experienced God's mercy and grace through other people quite often, I would say. Through some other person, family, parent. Someone who did not have to be kind to us and was. God came in those moments. And God comes in the moments we leave here this day with everyone we encounter. Now you know me, most of you know me long enough to know that I'm a big fan of J.R.R. Tolkien. And I've probably thrown this quote out here before, and you'll probably hear it a few more times before I retire from this place eventually. And that's this. It's a story where Frodo, who discovers that he has the One Ring, which has all this power, and must be destroyed by taking it to the enemy's place and throwing it in a fire. Despairs. He says to the wizard Gandalf, I wish I had not been born. Gandalf replies to him, I would not wish what you face on anyone. But it is not up to us to choose the times we were born, but to use how we use those times we are given. That's it. God has come. God is continuing to come. God will come. But he also wants to come through us. Just by picking up our feet and walking, just by overcoming our fears, just by being kind to one another and not giving in to all that would destroy us. You and I will leave this place visible sign of God's coming. We, too, are added. Say to those of a fearful heart, do not be afraid. Show those of a fearful heart that you walk in faith. Amen.